Lord, we praise you and we thank you for this day. Just bless the rest of it now. Tune our ears into you that we would hear your word, Lord. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Morning. Anybody out there said good morning? Sometimes I wonder, you know. Sometimes people say, thank God for Saturday and Sundays, you know. They can sleep later. You know, Uni and I, we get up in the morning, not every morning, but it should be every morning. And what do we know communion as? What's a term a lot of people say? The Lord's Supper. But the most one ever says, especially in the scriptures, the breaking of bread. See? Now you've heard Tony talk about our daily bread. See? He's always had them in the back for you to pick up. Now, I don't know if you did or didn't, but it's a good thing. Now, Uni and I, we read it in the morning. If we have a, well, there's no specialist living in Julian. All the specialists for doctors is down in the city. That means if you got an 8 o'clock appointment, your daily getting up is spending an hour and 15 minutes to get to the doctor's office. So then we'll do it in the evening. But we try to do it on a daily basis. It says the daily bread. And this is the start of breaking of bread is the start of communion. And we'll get into it as I'm going to read today, our daily bread for today. But I'm going to ask a question. How many times is communion written in the Bible? Anybody know? How many times do we see the word communion? Huh? Somebody shook her head and says, I don't think it does. It says, when you gather together, do it in the Lord's name. 4 times. 4 times. Now, the question, who wrote about it? I heard one. Right answer. Anybody else got an answer? And if you got the answer, what epistle? You know? When was the first time bread was spoken of? Moses in Egypt. So when they did the Passover, what'd they do? Drank the wine, and they ate the bread. What do we do in communion? Well, we don't drink the wine. But the church I went to, Lutheran Church, we had wine from the Rhine Valley. 13 years old when I first had my communion, after going through confirmation, I was dizzy. First time. Taste of wine. I thought it was rotten grapes. But our daily bread is very important. To get you so you understand it, Paul wrote it to the new church. And he did it in Corinthians. 1 and 2 Corinthians. It's very important why he did it. But he spoke of it 4 times. The first time he spoke of it was in 1 Corinthians 10:16. 10:16. And he spoke of it twice in that. It says, the cup of the blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? First time it's mentioned in the Bible. breaking of bread is done other times. The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? And then he goes on to tell about the communion, you know, for I have received. That's the instructions given for public worship. This is a public worship. See? But that's 1 Corinthians. Well, where else did he say? Well, he said it twice in 2 Corinthians. Why? Because they didn't do it right the first time. You know? It's like a lot of things, you know? But anyhow, and of course, I go to 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14. Now, sometimes I see people at Bible study, I'm getting my King James out, and they're getting their phone out. They're beating to me, too, and I'm trying to find it in the scriptures. I got a thin paper, and it sticks together. I got to go to Buddhist to get it apart. But those that use the phone, that's good. But when I see somebody read it, what translation you got? Because I'm reading it from the King James. But here it says in 6:14, and this is the problem they were having. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion has light with darkness? So, the communion was being distorted. And so he wrote a second letter to straighten that out. The Corinth church, where the believers were, was in the middle of unbelievers. And there was a lot of them that had questioned Paul's authority. So he had to write the second one to question his authority. And it goes again in chapter 2 Corinthians 13. And this is the final advice. This is the final advice he gives. And the last words of 2 Corinthians 13, 14. After he tells them, give a brother a holy kiss, and all the saints salute you, he says, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen. And communion is the blood of Christ and his body, the wine and the bread. We start out with our daily bread in the morning, and it has scripture reading. Today's date is Exodus. I won't read you all of this here thing. It's Exodus 6, 1-8. But here it says, you are like Moses. It says, well, I will free you, talking to Moses, I will free you from being slaves to them, the Egyptians. And so like Moses in slavery, you say, well, we're not in slavery. We are slaves of sin. We don't realize it, you know. If I was to say, do you believe the righteousness of God and God's word is right? Well, yeah, well, do you live it? Rightly. But anyhow, it ends with that. But down at the bottom of our daily bread says the Bible in a year. The Bible in a year. When the Feast of Tabernacles is had in the synagogue, they start reading from Genesis. And it goes all the way through the year. They do scripture, the Holy Scriptures. Remember, they're Old Testament. They do the Holy Scriptures. And when they get to Yom Kippur, they're done for the year. The Feast of Tabernacles, they start over again and read it. They read the Bible, the Holy Scriptures, at the services. You can go with them because at the bottom, it shows us. So when you come to communion, you have to realize this goes all the way back to the Passover, the first Passover. And Jesus instituted to his disciples the Last Supper. And the church that was growing started having when they met, because they didn't have that Sunday meeting only. Gotta remember, they were Jewish too. The followers of the way, Christ says, I am the way. So they were having. And so this was being abused. And so when Paul wrote 1 Corinthians, and he told them, he gave them instruction on how to do it. And that is in chapter 11. Chapter 11. Order at the Lord's Supper. For I have received of the Lord that which also I deliver unto you. He had given it to him on the first time he was there. This is years later. He hears about it and sends him a letter. I have received of the Lord which I had delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, that same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And we all take the bread in remembrance of Jesus. And said, after the same manner, he took the cup when he had supped. That's the Passover meal. After they had supped. Saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye, as often you drink it, in remembrance of me. If some of you seniors are having trouble opening this, ask somebody to help you with it. In remembrance of Jesus. Okay, can I get somebody to collect these? Right there to your left, yeah. You know, in your bulletin today, and we'll read it later, but I forgot to read it to the first service. You know, I was trying to get it out. I was trying to get out of the second service because, you know, the first service is streamed. It's being streamed right now. I was saying, well, I don't have to do the second service. Let's stream it on the TV here and I could go home. But it says, stop at the back table and pick up a special 10-day devotional from our daily bread. It's called Unshakable, and it has 10 devotional days. So I'd like you to stop at the back table and pick one of these up on your way out. This is August now, and the new ones will be coming out in the next couple weeks to go for the next 3 months. So, I'm asking that a part of studying God's Word, and an easy way to study God's Word is this daily bread. Now, some people have devotional books, you know. A lot of women, Christian women that are speakers, they have written devotional books, and they're good. But I like the daily bread. I have to thank the weed whackers. Now, when you own an acre and a third, a lot of trees, it's hard to weed whack. You say, well, what's hard weed whacking? Well, my property is on a slope like this, 30 degrees. And I appreciate what I found out from one of them. Tony says, Herb hurts and needs help. Yeah, I do. But you want to know something? It's prolific. It's prophecy that I heard. And we'll get into that, Now, you say, Herb, you've done the Sunday school classes, and I've spoken in this church before. I spoke in the church before at Crest. You know, or you're an elder or a trustee and all. You should be able to know and how to speak. You should be able to speak the word. If somebody asks you a question, I don't always have an answer, but I'll get into that in the rest of this message. But for me, I grew up in the church. I was an acolyte. I went through confirmation. I helped as an usher. Big mistake, because I tried to get in step with the other ushers, and there went the tray. Now, well, I said, well, what's wrong with that? Well, this was in the 50s. We were still at 75 cents an hour minimum wage. 75 cents, that was minimum wage. 1960, when I graduated, went to a dollar. $1 in 1960. I joined the Marine Corps at 11 cents a day. 11 cents a day, 30 days in a month. No, it was 11 cents an hour, 24 hours a day, 30 days a month. Came to $70 a month I was making when I joined the Marine Corps. And here that money goes. And there's nickels, quarters, pennies, a few dollars sprawled all over the floor. My introduction of being a volunteer doing the collection at church. But I learned from that. I had a pastor that wanted to be a preacher. He says, I want you, Herb, to be a preacher because you're good at the Sunday school class. I want you to be a preacher, and I'm going to take you over to Wagner University. It's a Lutheran university on Staten Island. Staten Island is the fifth borough of the city of New York. And I grew up across the river from Staten Island. And I don't know, 17 miles from Times Square, give you an idea. But we went over there. It's a nice campus. I like it. I go there. Then 2 weeks later, he takes me to a seminary in Philadelphia. Because this is where you'll study, Herb, to become a preacher. Yeah, okay. Well, this was in my senior year. My best friends quit school at 16. One, because he kept getting left back. He says, I started school with Herb. Then I was with your sister. Now your brothers are caught up to me. He says, I'm not going to school anymore. I'm going to get a job. And so he talked me into joining the Marine Corps with him. Well, tell him I'm busy. Thank you, Cody. So I went into the Marine Corps. Now, I'm a person that school didn't agree with me because of studying, and honestly. My first day as a freshman, I came home with books because I didn't get my locker yet. Next day, I had a locker, and every book was in it. I come home, my mom says, where's your homework? I don't have any homework. You brought books home, you have homework. I says, Mom, I never brought a book home. I did it in study hall. Kept a few hours late at school to get it done. I didn't bring homework home. So I joined the Marine Corps. What do they do after I was with engineer? They sent me to go to school in San Diego. So there I am in school. I learned. But I learned a lesson. I can't do all this stuff, telephone and teletype, radar fundamentals and radio fundamentals. And then the guy looks at me and says, the manual. That's your Bible, Herb. The manual on what to do. That was your Bible. I get out of the Marine Corps. I'm with the telephone company. I go to switching. I'm a number 5 crossbar switchman. That's the same office that we have here in Julian. That's what I have in Jersey. But to be able to work in it, they sent me to school in Newark, New Jersey, you know, to be that switchman. I had to learn. If there's a problem, here's your Bible, Herb, the manuals. So you got on-the-job training and school training, you know. So I get back to California. I'm still with the telephone company. My father-in-law's electrician. He says, Herb, you should get and be an electrician. 4 years at City College. I went to school. On-the-job training, and 4 years at City College. Thank God for the VA. Paid my way at college. Paid all my books. So, Uni and I are married, got kids, we're in Crest, and the pastor says, Herb, I'd like you to help out with the youth. Fine, I'll help out with the youth. There's a convention at Campus Crusade for Christ. It says we got to go to. It says it's a whole week. And it'll teach you how to, you know, speak and be able to tell people, your youth, about Christ. So he's in the pastor section. I'm in the youth section back at school. Where is this? Then I learned there's other ways to find things out. The person here at this church, like Dr. Vernon McGee, and he was going to buy the new more books. His books were getting old. He gave Uni and I every one of McGee's lesson books. Now I know where to find things when asked. And that's why it's so important that we have the Bible and what we go through. The learning, the history of it comes back. But then the body gets hurt. Is there anything in the body that's going to help you when you hurt? Now, my hurt was physical. 77 cartilage tore, 87 cartilage tore. What do you do? You know, if you come to our house, our living room, the ceiling goes up. It's 17 feet high. And on the wood wall there, Uni got, how many here remember Gary Pluger? How many here remember his brother Chris? Okay, there's a few. Chris made it. Uni had him make it. So a board of plaque. And on it was a verse that I thoroughly loved. And it's in Isaiah. So I'd like you all to turn to Isaiah 40. Get your phone out. Everybody gets upset with me and say, Herb, can I give you a text? I don't text. I use it for a phone. But that changed. That changed the other day, and I'll explain it. And here it is. When you're hurting, man, you know, 2 months it took me to get my leg back in the strength that it was when I tore it. But they that wait upon the Lord, I'm asking the Lord, Lord, help me. You know, wait. Those that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. And they shall walk and not faint. I'm going to tell you, sitting in a chair, lifting that leg up with a 50-pound weight to get my muscles back in the shape they were before I was operated on. And then I go tear the next one up 10 years later. Okay? That was the start of it, and that's where we put this. This is my favorite verse in the Bible. My favorite verse, because of the physical body being hurt. I needed strength. I had to wait. You know, there's a lot of times I'd say something, and Uni says, well, don't worry about it, Herb. Everything that's happened, the Lord has taken care of it. And it's always been waiting. You know? Waiting on it. So, did that end? I explained. And I'm thankful that people came to do the weed whacking. Now, here's the problem. You say, well, what's so hard about weed whacking? Well, when it first started a couple months ago, the weeds were like that. They came and it rained. They came again and it rained. Remember, we had those rains. They did a little bit around the house. Some around us. I got a concrete driveway. And the weeds, now I'm not exaggerating, they were this high this last time around, right? But when the sun come up, remember those 103-degree days, 100 degrees? They laid down. Now, how do you cut? James will tell you, how do you cut weeds that are this high laying down? It's hard. I'm telling you, Larry and James and Eric and all these guys, they're all out there. I'm going to tell you, and a girl. One girl showed up. I'm not kidding you, man. She was good. But, you know, I'm thankful for that. But that was the cause of my knees going bad, because I did it. And years ago, I had to buy electric ones because Uni wanted to help. Says, I don't want that heavy gas one. I want an electric one that's light and all. And so I bought it for her, and she was to do it. Then her body gave to the point she couldn't come out and help anymore. And that's annoying when you can't do something, you know. So I'm out there, and I'm weed whacking, and I'm on the slope, and all of a sudden my knee, man, it's killing me. So I stopped, and I went in, and I says, I got to get this checked. Well, when your knee's like that, and it's all white, and it's all white, it's bone to bone. So I get that first one done. I'll get the second one done. And then a little nasty thing called COVID. So I had to wait. But I got both knees replaced. And, you know, I mean, I went through the hurting on this. And you're saying, Herb, why is this so bad? Well, because it's prophecy. And this prophecy goes back years. 3,600 years ago, Moses made a prophecy in chapter 90 of Psalms. The only psalm he wrote. And what he says is me. I had these here little minor injuries, but then I, all of a sudden I got a major one, my knees. And then, you know, low heart rate, all that stuff. That all comes about. But all this here was when, from 73 to recent, I started getting this way. And you look at me and say, well, you look healthy, Herb. Uh-huh. But Moses told me, the days of our years are 70 in the King James, but in the Hebrew it says 70. The days of your years are 70. I reached 70, and I felt good. If by reason of strength they may be 80, yet is their strength labor and sorrow? Uh-huh. It came about, for it soon cut off, and we fly away. Now, fly away is you've passed on. You know, we sing that at funerals and everything. Oh, fly away, fly away. Yeah. So I was 73 when my first ailment came on. It was blood. I gave blood, which I always did. And then it didn't get replenished. My body did not replenish my blood. Uni and I, Gary Darnell, Fred Slaughter, a few others, were up in the Sierras. And I'm not feeling good. Now they tell you that your blood level, your hemoglobin is 12 or 11.1 is good. Mine is below 6. Anything below 6 is dangerous. You know? So Uni calls the doctor. So we're coming back from the Sierras. I go see the doctor. He takes my blood, calls me up. Says, Herb, come into the office. He hands me this piece of paper with all my blood work done. And he writes, critical, get to the hospital. Took 2 units of blood to replenish it. And so immediately I'm on the register not giving blood. So it was iron, my iron deficiency. And that brought it back. It took 4 months to get it back. And I had my heart attack. Thing. So these here things come about. But it told me, 70 years is good. But by reason of strength, which was good, I had strength, I have labor and sorrow. And here's the thing. This is what he tells us. So teach us to number our days. And this is the important thing, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. Apply our hearts unto wisdom. Very important. Scripture brings that out. Our wisdom, you know? How do you know? How do you know to do it? And that's why I liked when I was going to teach the Sunday school class the Proverbs. The Proverbs. Where does it start? It starts right in the very beginning. So let's go to Proverbs 1. Boy, I know. I just let everybody know that. Yeah, you say you look good, Herb, and I'm not. It's not that I'm sickly. Not that I'm sickly. But Moses told me I was going to be that way. You know? And how many people are over 80? They said, well, Herb, my mom died last year this month, August 23rd last year, 99. I said, well, you got plenty of years left, Herb. But it's strength and sorrow and labor. You know what's the hardest thing after having your knees replaced? Getting dressed. That's the hardest thing. It's a struggle every morning trying to get dressed. You know? I do physical fitness Monday, Wednesday, and Fridays. I go over there. I do all those exercises so I can stay in shape because I'm losing strength. But what do you do when this all happens? This is chapter 1, verses 1 to 8. The Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel. We just talked about wisdom. Number your days unto wisdom. To know wisdom and instruction. To proceed the words of understanding. That is so important. Understanding. You know? You know what I'm telling you, when I was going to City College? City College was the paper. That was the knowledge you learned from. But I was still working every day. That's on-the-job training. You know? And I'm going to talk to you about the disciples. Because they... How long did they train or with Jesus? 3 years. I did 4. to receive the instruction, wisdom, justice, and judgment, and equity. Wow. You don't judge people. You know? That's not our job. That's God's job. But we have that. We try. To give supply to the simple. To the young man, knowledge and discretion. I have to rely on Uni for discretion. Women are better in discretion than us men. I'll tell you. It really is. A wise man will hear and will increase learning. And a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsel. Understanding. Our teachers are the wise counsel. Our teachers give us the understanding of something. The on-the-job training is we use it. And when you're doing the on-the-job training, you get better at what you're understanding. To understand a proverb and the interpretation. A lot of people have told me, I just don't understand it. Yeah. You know? But fools despise wisdom and instruction. Here's the thing. We have books. We have pamphlets. You know, when Tony asked me to do this, and he's doing Romans, so I said, well, I'll do the roads to Romans. Oh, I should have done that. I said, well, I don't want to go into his message. You know, he's already passed over a couple of things. How many here have ever read The Road to Romans? I learned it from a track. A track. the road to Romans, and it gives you verse, and then the end. You accept Christ. You know? The simplest form to tell a person how to go. Now remember, why does it say the road to Romans? Who made the old Romans back in those days? The Romans. All the roads lead to Rome. They made roads. How do you think the gospel got spread? The roads. And so that pamphlet come out, the roads to Romans. And one of the things, they asked me, well, what is this here message on, Herb? It is written. It is written. You know? When it says it is written and you're reading the New Testament, because there's people say, I'm New Testament, Herb, not Old Testament. Well, you should be both. What does it say in the New Testament? 22 times in Romans, it is written. Or so-and-so says, and then it, what it is. That's all prophecy from the Old Testament talking about Christ in the New Testament. We can't get away from that. It is written. The Bible is the written word of God. When did the word come about? Well, John told us. In the beginning was the word. The word was God. You know, as simple as that. In the beginning, God created. The word is plural. Elohim, not El. El is God. Elohim is plural God. So you got the plural God. Then it says, and the Spirit went across the earth. There's your Trinity. We should know that. And the only way you're going to know it is read it. And if you don't understand it, we got the books or a person can tell you. Don't ask me because I'm, no. But I will help you where to read and where to find it. I love doing that. How do you do it, Herb? Well, I'll explain that. But here, this is it. Continuing to understand it, right? The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Now, they'll tell you, the scholars, this is reverently. In other words, it's reverence towards God. Did you fear your dad if you did something wrong? Uh-huh. My mom, we get into it. See? The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. Then he says, my son, he does this a lot in Proverbs, my son, fear of the Lord, he does too. Hear the instruction of the father. You know, he goes on and says, you know, on his dad's knee. You know? Solomon learned a lot from David. And forsake not the law of thy mother. Now, my mother was 5'2", redhead. Coal miner's daughter. Family migrated from Wales. Settled in Pennsylvania. She was born in Bethlehem, Pennsylvania. Pennsylvania. This is one of the best things I learned. Later on, I learned it. My mother never said to my father that he has to discipline me. She took care of it all the time. Redhead mother. You know? We never, I mean, I tell you, I mean, whatever was in her hand, that's what I got smacked with, I'll tell you that. The law of the mother. See? She's got us as little kids all day long. My dad's coming home from work. He's tired, especially on a Friday night. And even though we weren't Catholic, he had to go to the fish store to buy fish on Friday nights because it was cheaper then. All the Catholics were in line, but he got, that's what, so Friday night, don't ever do anything wrong on Friday because mom is really going to get you. Mom instructed us, you know. My dad taught me a lot of things. My grandfather taught me a lot of things. And I helped my grandmother out because my grandmother was a saint. And you know, when you grow up in those things, And everybody always felt, well, you're the oldest, Herb, the oldest grandchild, the oldest son in the family, the oldest grandson, and all. My brothers and sisters, so every time I visit, God's visiting us again, because I get treated so good. But that's what I learned. I learned from the Psalms. I learned from the Word. But there's a lot of things that I've had to do over the years for my instructions. 100 prophecies of Jesus in the Old Testament. By the year and where it is in the New Testament. Every one of them. Did I look them all up? I'd never looked them all up. I've looked a lot of them up, but I've read a lot of them when in studies. And it's, you see the colors? The colors that tell you if it was in the old, the law, then it does it in color from when it was the time of David and Solomon, and then it does it in the blue for the prophets. And you're going to learn something in the Bible that tells you this is what you should be studying. I'm serious. You don't realize it, but this is what was said by Jesus. See? We learn from the Old Testament. Now, you got to remember one thing. Where we learn, it is written. And this is what this year is about. It is written. That is the theme of the New Testament. You got to remember, who wrote the New Testament? Jews. They were Jewish. The disciples were Jewish. The apostles were Jewish. The church leaders were Jewish. And so being explained in every epistle that was written by the New Testament writers, they were Jewish, except for Luke. They were Jewish. The only good thing about Luke, how many here know Luke's mother's name? How many here know Luke's mother's name? When you read, I meant Timothy. How many know Timothy's mother's name? Because Paul wrote to Timothy. Eunice. Timothy's mother. She's pretty old. And so this is what I got. You go Rose Publishing. But you see, is that enough to learn about? Well, how about the feast days? Everything about the feast. What does it say? The feasts and holidays of the Bible. Oh, it pictures Christ. That's Old Testament. It pictures Christ. Christ in the Passover. We've done it. We've done this. And this is how I got most of my knowledge from. How we got the Bible. You'd be surprised how we got the Bible. Right here, somebody left it here. And I know who. It's the New American Standard Bible. The New Testament, King James, was written and published in 1611, 1902. You know what it is? Uni and I watch a lot of KPBS. They got a lot of stuff from England. You know what Uni and I take every morning? Vitamins. What's the American English for vitamins? Vitamins. Where do I store stuff? In the boot of the car. If something's wrong, I take it to the garage. Not the garage, the garage. There's a lot. So this year one, what it was done? It was done, and what they published on it? The American English. The American English. Because we've changed it. I was glad when Webster put the word ain't in the Bible. In the dictionary. Ain't, And I always use that because I'm from Jersey. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. There ain't no other way. That's Jersey translation. So you learn this here prophecy stuff, and you learn a lot of things on knowledge and all. And we'll get into more of that. You know, but a lot of times prophecy is ignored. You know? So a lot of things are built on curiosity and stuff like that. But there's a reason for it, you know, and so forth. And so when we look at it, I showed you the prophecy. What book of the New Testament has the most prophecy of the Old Testament? It's an interesting thing. It is written. Matthew's. 55 times he mentions either an allusion or a direct quote from the Old Testament. And you're going to get to us. Matthew was the most smartest of all the disciples, intelligent wise. He was. You had to be when you're a tax collector. You know? So he was the most wise. And so he wrote 55 times quotes or allusions of the Old Testament. Now, it's interesting, what book of the Old Testament has the most prophecy? Anybody name a prophet that, you know, David was considered a prophet. David was considered a prophet. What prophet spoke most as prophecy of Jesus? Isaiah, 45 times. David only had 35. Isaiah. Now, when you're in Israel and you go to Jerusalem, there's a building there. Now, how many here know about the Dead Sea Scrolls? Okay, they got a building where they got the Dead Sea Scrolls on show. And this is very important, what a lot of people don't realize, especially the Jewish people that live there. Now, the building is built. Now, they had jars that come up, and they had lids. And then on the top was a knob that they could lift the lid off. The roof of this building is like the top of the jars. They got a big knob on top and cave coat. You get in there, and you can see all the pieces they got of all of it, because, you know, the Roman soldiers, when they found some of that stuff, they ripped them all up. In the middle is a kiosk, and it's round, and it's one book in its entirety. Isaiah. Isaiah is the only book that from the Dead Sea Scrolls that they have entirety. They're still trying to find parts. Because they got all this here ripped up. You know how they're finding them now? DNA. They were written on leather. They were written on certain types of grain papyrus and all that. They take the, well, yeah, this is what, you know, Amos said. So they get the DNA from that. So then when they go through these here pieces, if they find a piece that matches that DNA, they got another piece to go with that piece. And so they're gradually getting all this here back together. See? Now, Isaiah, very important about Isaiah, you know? And the trip was very interesting to find that. And since he has the most of the pieces that is found, it's very important because where is it? It's kept in Jerusalem. Who's responsible for it? The Jews. Israel, my glory. In the back of every one of them, even after he passed away, is apples of gold from Ziva Kalischer, a survivor of the Holocaust. He lives in Jerusalem, and he 55 years he's writing articles to Israel, my glory. And he has trouble, being a Jew, he has trouble with Jews. Because he accepted Christ. He accepted the Word of God as it's written. And then you go there, Durbin's the Holy Scripture. It's the Old Testament, the Holy Scripture. And he has problems with guys, he'll meet some of these young guys, and he'll quote, and he'll give them Isaiah. And these guys will say, well, the rabbis aren't teaching us that. Okay? We have that privilege of knowing what Isaiah said. But he comes to, and one day, three women knock on the door, wanting him to go to prayer. This is the prayer book, you know. And they got a special name for it. And they say, well, you should read this three times a day. Three times a day, you got to read the prayer book. A lot of prayers from, you know, Psalms and everything else. And it's a psalm prayer book, really. But he says, that's not important. And they says, well, why? He says, I'll read you something. And then you give me your opinion. And he read Psalm 118:8. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. The prayer book is written by man. Now he's got these women here. And now they ask if he studied the Bible. Yeah, he tells them this. But he says, can I ask you this? And they reply, yes, we're religious women. He says, well, open your prayer book. Read the prayer from the morning service. Blessed art thou, O Lord our God, King of the universe, who has not made me a woman. Yep, that's in that prayer book. Has not made me a woman. You know? Then he asked the women, is a woman lesser than, is a lesser human being? Did not God create both men and women? We've talked to you long enough. We'll talk to the rabbis about what you said, you know. And so what they say, and he reads to the guys a lot of Isaiah 53. He says, well, I never heard that. It's in the Bible. See, and that's the thing. It is written. What we should be doing is studying the Bible. And it all comes down to it. You know, this. We have the material. Let's get it. And it all, you know, are you ready to take the road to Romans? You know? Are you ready to take the road to Romans? 22 times it says that it is written in Romans. You know, and so this is the proof we have that goes back from the time of Moses that told me, Herb, you did good to be 70. Hey, your strength, going through some hardship, made you 80. But number your days. So 2 weeks ago, this coming week, from the 7th, the 11th, nothing on the diary. The diary in England is our calendar in the United States. The diary, you wrote down what's going to happen or what you got to do. So we have a calendar. Every day is filled up this week. From Text Med on Tuesday for me, and get rid of my ingrown toenails on Friday, and Uni's got 4 days of it. We need prayer. You know, it's a daily thing with us. The calendar, the diary's getting filled. If you saw what we went through this year, you know what was the biggest thing we went through? What did I tell you my driveway is like? 10 days before the snow got shoveled off. 10 days, Uni and I was stranded at home during all that time it was snowing. We're still alive. She didn't kill me. She thought of it. Okay, so I'm going to wrap this up right now. Studying is not hard. Getting a daily bread will get you through the Bible in a year. Reading what individuals go through on a daily basis. There are stories that you can't believe where God stepped in and took care of things. You cannot believe it. I thank God for the guys and the gal that helped the weed whack. You know, because physically, Tony don't want me to do it. And earnestly, I don't want to do it. You know? But start a devotion time. Get into a study time. Pray for our groups that have study programs. It's the Word of God. It is written. Our Heavenly Father, we're thankful, Lord, for your Word. We're thankful that you are the Word and you are God. We're thankful, Lord, that God sent you for our life with outstretched arms on the cross. You took us in that we may have an eternal life. And we do this only through your name. And we pray in it. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Before I dismiss you, read the bulletin. Announcements. We thank God for the Cleaning Crew 3. And all the prayers that went out to Camp Julian Oaks. The final session was a great success. Then it says, thanks to those who came to weed whack the Dackermans. No, you didn't weed whack the Dackermans. You weed whack the yard of the Dackermans. Well, Herb, you need a whacking. Okay, whack me. Today is VBS appreciation lesson, so those who did work on VBS, be here at 12 o'clock. Don't forget, next week at 9 o'clock, be at the camp. It's going to be our service. We'll be there in the morning, and afterwards, we'll baptize you and everything. Herbert, you know, people ask me if I tell them, I got sprinkled in the Lutheran Church, but I did get baptized in the Jordan River. That's a highlight. And the former pastor here in the church, Carl Westerlin, was asked by his last name, Chuck Smith, to start the school of ministry at Calvary Chapel. And so I went over there to Israel with the students that had just graduated. They get a trip to go to Israel. And Carl baptized me in the Jordan River. And I had communion at the tomb. I dipped my toe in the Mediterranean, floated on the Dead Sea, and was up at Masada, you know, and the things that go on there. Israel is the same as it was because of the Word of God. And I enjoyed that trip. And at the Passover, what do they say? Next year, Jerusalem. Pray for Jerusalem. So on the back table is this here, Unshakable. Pick one up. It has 10 things from our daily bread. Remember, the new book, Daily Bread, is coming out in a couple of weeks. Pastor's always telling you to get one. And I'm telling you to get one. It's a good devotional book. It's a good time to read. And it tells us and explains to us the words of God. So, and celebrating August birthdays. On the 24th of August, what does it say? Herb Dackerman. I'll be 81. You are dismissed. Yes. Huh? Put it in that little box there by the door. You mean I got to charge you for this?